During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Impress your friends, amaze your coworkers, make your family proud. Here's what you need to know. I'm gonna tell you what
you need to know. Fourth quarter of the program begins right now. Thank you for joining us here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Our Need to Know brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. You need to know that right now is the biggest and best selection of pools and spas and hot tubs, and you can have them all delivered and installed come this spring. When the weather's warm, why not be enjoying it in a new spa from Family Leisure? Find them right now at K10 and Ridgeview, or you can find them online at familyleisure.com. Remember, mention 810 and save even more. Everything you could want, you can find it at Family Leisure. Got any questions, call them at 913-888-7727. That's 913-888-7727. Great outdoor furniture. I'm going to tell you, it's where we got all of our patio furniture. Started buying it in 2004, have added on over the years, and I don't even know which was the ones we bought in 2004 and which we bought, you know, like 4 years ago, which we bought 10 years ago. Great, great patio furniture. Go check it out right now at Family Leisure. Get ready for that warm weather because it is on the way. In fact, I think it's going to be up around 60 coming up on Saturday. Family Leisure, where family and fun come together at K10 and Ridgeview. 913-888-7727, online at familyleisure.com. Let's start you off here in Need to Know with some Royals baseball. Whit Merrifield. Talking. We're going to get into what happened in Seattle in this question in the Q&A here, but Whit Merrifield asked about the Royals making moves to win this season, something that surprised many on the national scene.
Well, that's a problem that people were surprised that we did that. Everybody should do that. Everybody should go out every year and do what they can to make their team the best they can. And our ownership and our front office understands that. And we're very fortunate here to have a front office ownership that understand that this is a very small window. Players get to play in the big leagues. Coaches get to be here. You got really one shot at it. Why not go out every year and put together the best team you can to be successful? Obviously, teams are going to have their budgets or whatever you want to call it, but there's no reason to not go out and try to win every year. And the fact that people were surprised that we're doing that is a problem. And we hopefully that can get resolved.
Whit, do you have any thoughts about, you know, this Mather from Seattle talking publicly or privately publicly about service time and manipulation and things like that? As a player rep, I mean, what are your thoughts about that going on in Major League Baseball? And does it surprise you, or is it something you guys kind of always knew?
It surprised me that he said it out loud. I mean, it's no secret. It's been happening for years, and it's a shame, but it's been happening for a long time, and I think that just sort of proved it.
We'll talk a little bit more about this with Alec Lewis coming up in our next segment. You can also go to 810WHP.com, check out the Border Patrol's great interview with Buster Olney. Buster Olney gets into the subject and points out that the Royals are one team that doesn't do this, but if there's somebody that you would point to and say they did do it to, isn't it the guy who was just talking?
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure his mom was like, do I say this?
I quote Danny Klingscale because I respect his opinions, and I disagree. I don't go as strongly at this as Danny does, but I respect Danny's opinion, so I certainly file it away as something I may very well be wrong on, and Danny might be 100% right because Danny's really good at this stuff. But he is adamant that the Royals just lucked into Whit Merrifield, right? He's like, if you don't bring him up and you keep him down, you don't think the guy can play. And you leave him exposed and just nobody takes him. And I'm like, well, I mean, we can either, you either say that they played the game right, right? They knew what they could get away with and who they needed to protect and who they didn't. And ultimately, Whit Merrifield broke in with the Royals, whether it was later than it should have been or not. He ultimately has become a good ball player by being drafted, developed, and played by the Kansas City Royals. And I don't think Danny would argue that, yeah, they get all the credit for it, but he's like, they never had any idea what they had on their hands with him, or they wouldn't have jerked him around the way they did. And they would have had him up earlier. And I do think that Whit Merrifield is an example of where the service time thing became a deal. They're like, okay, he's pretty good. Let's control the service time. And they sent him down. And I think that's kind of what the Royals do. And then they go and like, okay, we'll give you a multi-year contract that you're happy with. I fully expect, and watch this, because Whit Merrifield's contract, it goes from $7 million this year to like $3.6 million next year.
Yep.
If Whit Merrifield's playing for $3.6 million next year for this team, I'll be stunned. I'll be stunned.
Same.
I think,
don't see it happening.
Yeah, they're either going to be, you know, and if they trade him, you want to talk about a pissed off guy, you're going to hear a lot from Whit Merrifield. I mean, I that has to be the kind of thing like, hey, look, if you're still playing at a high level, we'll give you a new deal. If you're not and you're broken down or hurt or whatever, you've at least got $3 million. That's what that has to be. I'll be stunned if he's still playing on that contract. So Whit Merrifield say, yeah, I'm surprised he said it out loud, but everybody's known it was going on in baseball. Buster only saying, hey, the Royals don't do it. But I would argue with that a little bit. And then I would also say, well, if everyone's doing it in baseball, why aren't you?
Right.
And I think it's something that the Players Association has to clean up in their collective bargaining agreement. They need to make it, listen, free agency is going to be based upon how many years after you're drafted, how many years after you're signed. That's what it needs to become. Because then the clock begins ticking the moment you're in the organization. And there's nothing that a team can do to mess with it.
Chances they can get that put together?
Depends on how much they're willing to fight for it. And I will tell you that I think there's probably very little stomach for it, because older players always give up younger players in an effort to get more for themselves. But if you really want it to go away, that's how you get it to go away. But no, chances, slim and none.
Yeah, that would definitely correct all the problems, but that's going to take some
Because they're
some guts.
They're not going to fight for it. They're not going to fight for it. All right, here's Whit Merrifield talking about getting off to a better start. He was asked what the Royals can do to start faster.
Well, hopefully we can break camp with more than two starting pitchers. Hopefully we'll have Hunter Dozier in the lineup. Hopefully Salvi's eyes are good. And hopefully we can have late in the year Mondi come out of the gate. And we do those things, and watch out, we're coming in hot.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty much how it started last year.
Hopefully two pitchers.
But that also speaks to a lack of depth.
Yes.
And we feel that
still
the depth
exists.
The depth of pitching is better. But I don't think the depth of hitting is there. If they take a couple of injuries on the hitting side, or Mondi's not hitting, it's going to be a tough go. It's going to be a tough go for sure. Whit Merrifield asked what was different about his offseason prep this year with playing right field.
I did a lot more throwing, a lot more outfield throwing, I guess, where I can try to get my feet and my arm synced up more in the outfield. I was so programmed these last couple of years to get the ball in and out of my glove as quick as I could that I still have a good arm. It was just short. And so I worked a lot this winter on getting my feet back under me, almost slowing my arm and my body down to let my arm get back to that carry. I used to have a pretty good outfield arm back in college, and then it sort of transitioned to an infield arm the more I've played second. So just worked hard on trying to get that back.
Nicky Lopez better freaking hit.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's screwing around with his arm, and he better not come down with Tommy John.
Yeah.
Or an aching shoulder.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everyone said, well, it's easier to go back out than it is to come in. But as he highlighted there, once you're used to being in, that's a very different setup. And if he's going to take all this time to get his arm acclimated to what he's going to do now, and it doesn't work, you've wasted a year.
My fear is that, listen, you had a guy that's playing second base at a super high level. You had a kid that you thought maybe could hit, but everyone wasn't sure that, you know, he had any power, that there was any reason to believe that they wouldn't knock the bat out of his hands. They have been knocking the bat out of his hands. His on-base percentage has not translated, and you moved a guy who was all-star good at the position for this kid. Like, why not trade Nicky Lopez? This is where you have to make the evaluation call when he has value coming through the system. And maybe he had none. But then you're moving. If no one would take Nicky Lopez in a deal, then why would you move an all-star caliber second baseman off his position to open up a spot for a guy that nobody wants?
Yeah, that should tell you something. If you can't move anyone, then maybe he isn't your guy. And as you said, Merrifield's bat is so much more valuable as a second baseman. You can probably find a guy to play right field and hit the ball, if not over the fence, at least off the fence, and then you've got a massive offensive value at your second base. You're not going to get the kind of value. What's not going to hit good enough to be a really good value as a right fielder in modern baseball?
Salvi at behind the dish, Witt at second, those are above average bats for their position. You could be average, you know, have average outfielders, and throw in, you know, if he's healthy, a healthy Jorge Soler pounding the ball over the wall. That's how you build a good lineup. You know, take a great second baseman, move him out to the outfield to be an average-ish hitting outfielder, to put in a subpar second baseman, that doesn't add up.
No.
So this is where your evaluations of your own players have to be right. Trust your evaluations, but value those of others. And if they didn't even look at trading Nicky Lopez when they had Whit Merrifield at second base, they made a mistake. They made a mistake. I mean, it needed to be looked at. And, you know, they have to be right. They stayed the course with Nicky Lopez. They moved Whit Merrifield. Whit Merrifield better not be breaking down with arm problems after moving all around. That's the one thing I'll say. That can't happen to the Kansas City Royals. You're in the get-it-right business, and they have to get it right on Nicky Lopez. They've invested a lot in him. He needs to turn the corner and do it pretty soon. He's still only, I think, about 600 at-bats into his career, so there's two more seasons worth of waiting before you get to that 1,500 at-bat mark. But the Royals could certainly use him hitting before. That there's no law that says it has to be 1,500 at-bats before you take off. Let's hear from one John Clayton. He was on talking about where J.J. Watt is going to land. He was on the PM team with Pony and Miller on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Clayton talked about the potential for where J.J. Watt could end up.
I think it's going to be Tennessee, Buffalo, or Green Bay. Probably more Tennessee or Green Bay. Outside chance of the Raiders, but you know they can't afford him. Now, again, I'm so anxious to see what he ends up getting, because one thing, if you notice, and particularly in a year like this, if you're going to be a veteran player in the mid-30s, which he is, you may have struggles just to get a $10 million a year contract. I mean, last year, for example, Ndamukong Suh, of the guys in their mid-30s, got the best free agent contract at 1 year, $8 million. And what you're going to see this year is you're going to see a lot of the guys that we were expecting to get, you know, $8, $9, $10 million, getting $6 and $7 million. So I'm anxious to see what Watt's going to be able to get.
You said Tennessee, Green Bay, and Buffalo, John. Those are the three you're hearing. Tennessee, Green Bay, Buffalo.
Yeah, then Raiders too.
Raiders are being talked about with J.J. Watt. Raiders are also one of the teams that Russell Wilson's agent said he would accept a trade to. The Seahawks are saying they're not going to trade him. Russell Wilson says he's not demanding a trade, but. If there were a trade, since he's got a no-trade clause, the only teams he would allow himself to be traded to are the Dallas Cowboys, New Orleans Saints, Las Vegas Raiders, and Chicago Bears.
One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, it's the Bears. With Allen Robinson as a free agent, there's plenty of weapons and firepower. You get where he'd be settling in Dallas, New Orleans, and the Raiders, because they've all got, you know, talented skill position players. You know, some are more proven than others, but the Bears – it's an interesting fit. I guess it's to get into a big market like Chicago.
Maybe he likes large bodies of water.
Could be. I like ice. Lake Michigan. It's pretty cool. Maybe likes Matt Nagy. Likes the idea of playing in the same offense that Patrick Mahomes is playing in. NFLPA Executive Director DeMaurice Smith told NFL players' agents today that they should work together during the upcoming free agency period to ensure that teams aren't taking advantage of the reduced 2021 salary cap to limit player salaries. A source who was on the video conference told ESPN this fact. He's basically saying collude, which, you know, I don't think that there's any rule against it. Teams can't collude, but I think agents can. If they're not supposed to, he's not worried about it because he's telling them to go ahead and do it. Texas approved the 6-year, $34.2 million contract to Steve Sarkisian. So that is done. I like this one as well. Michigan and Northwestern will begin playing this season for the George Jewett trophy.
Jewett,
J-E-W-E-T-T. It's a new football rivalry trophy that honors the first black player in Big Ten history. He played for both those schools in the 1890s. So they will honor him and honor that legacy with the trophy. One fun one on our way out the door before we get to Alec Lewis, and that is old Roy back at it. If you didn't hear it, Roy Williams scheduled Marquette, kind of like the way Kansas is scheduling UTEP next week. They had openings. They had a game spot. They brought in Marquette. Marquette's got a losing record this year, and they go and beat the Tar Heels. Roy Williams got this question from Josh Graham of WSJS, the sports hub in Winston-Salem.
What would you say to Carolina fans who are questioning whether or not it made sense to schedule this game considering the result?
Well, if I'd known we were going to lose, God almighty, I wouldn't schedule the thing. Come on, we can't operate in damn hindsight. God almighty. If you'd told me we're going to lose, hell yeah, we wouldn't have played the game. If you'd told me we were going to beat the Lakers, I'd have scheduled them. Carolina fans, they're not that dumb. If they are, I got no answers for them.
Off he went. Press conference over.
Bye-bye. I'm not staying. I'm walking out of this room. God almighty. He didn't say God almighty. He was dad gum alive when he was here. And I remember saying God almighty. He was at KU. He was getting saltier as he gets older.
Oh, I don't know. He dropped an S-bomb on television.
That's true. When Bonnie Murphy, well, give KU. A blank about North Carolina.
Yeah. Apparently, he doesn't give a blank about North Carolina fans right now either.
Nope. No, no, no. Don't care about them.
I get his point, but
yeah,
you know, it's a legitimate question.
Sure.
You know, you're not in the tournament and you schedule this game. Come on, Roy. What are you thinking? Let's take a break. We're thinking we'll talk to Alec Lewis from The Athletic. Talk some Royals baseball next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
What the hell are you doing, fat ass?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. As a boy growing up in Alabama, he dreamed of going to school at Missouri. Really?
What?
I'll be deep in the cold, cold ground before I recognize Missouri.
Okay. Now he covers the Royals. He's Alec Lewis of The Athletic on the program.
Talking some Royals baseball here in the program. Alec Lewis brought to you by our friends at Corona. Corona Light, Corona Premier. Very soon we'll be watching some baseball. You got to have a Corona. Grab you a Corona Premier for a little less carbs. If you want the lowest carbs and lowest sugar, get the Corona Hard Seltzers. 4 great flavors. Get them wherever you buy your Coronas. Get stocked up. Baseball season right around the corner. Of course, NCAA tournament as well. Make sure you are ready with a good supply of the Coronas at your pad. Let's welcome Alec Lewis to our T-Mobile guest line. Coverage and speed, that's real 5G. T-Mobile covers more of America with 5G speeds. Alec, welcome to the T-Mobile guest line. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I just told Jed, I don't know if I could be better, and then I hear you talking about a Corona, and as I stand in the 70-degree with breeze weather, I could use one of those, and that, I mean, I'd be even better. So I'm good. I'm really good.
Yeah, so let's start right there. Are you getting to cover the team at all? Like, what, or are you just out in Arizona for vacation? Like, how's this working?
it's half-half. It's actually crazy, though. It feels almost sometimes kind of like you're just on vacation. There's no fans out here, so it's really like you have the whole complex to yourself. No, it's been a grind. It's seen a lot of pitching, seen a lot of hitting, and it's been interesting. Seen some good stuff. So I'm working. I'm grinding. You know how I operate.
So what are you like allowed out to the outside area, just not to the inside area? Is that how it's working?
Yeah, so the backfields and some of the extended kind of fields away from the facility. So it's really as far as the facility as you can get. And then we work out of the stadium press box. So I'm actually, as I talk to you, standing in the Surprise Stadium concourse, overlooking the field and the cactuses. But, yeah, we've been out on the backfield most of the time, and all of the players have been working up there, so we've gotten to see every live that's been thrown, and every batting practice session that's been taken. So it's been good enough. I mean, I can't complain.
And then when it comes to Matheny, he still meets with you via Zoom. Is that right?
Right. We talked to the manager in the morning via Zoom. Yeah, just the beat writer meeting. And then the player conversations are through Zoom. If you talk to him in person, it is strictly over Zoom. It'd be nice to be able to do some distance stuff. And the good thing is you have relationships. You can contact these guys, so it can work that way. But, yeah, most of it's still interview-wise all through Zoom.
All right, Whit Merrifield met with the media today. What did you take away from Whit? Anything in particular?
Yeah, Canada as always. I mean, I think for him, he was asked what the expectation is. He said, make the playoffs. I mean, he said it was pretty blunt in that expectation. He talked about kind of the nature of the game and what the Royals have done. He's like, I just wish every team would try to improve their team and try to win. And he's like, we got to do whatever we can to incentivize that. And obviously that's perfect world stuff and kind of a rosy, as you know, just perspective. But, he was candid as always in terms of just his optimism. I think they feel like nationally they're not getting any acclaim in turn, not acclaim, they're not getting any pub, and they're okay with that. I think they're okay kind of flying under the radar and see if they can catch lightning in a bottle.
Buster Olney was on today on the Border Patrol, and he basically said, you know, with the stuff that's going down in Seattle and the comments about manipulating service time, that Royals fans could hold their heads high because the Royals, that's not how Dayton Moore operates. And I had two reactions to it. I wonder if Whit Merrifield would agree with that, because a lot of people would say that Whit Merrifield got manipulated to keep his service time down. And the other one is, you know, three winning seasons in 15 years as the general manager. Should he have manipulated more service time?
Yeah, I mean, both are fair. I mean, I think with Whit, obviously, you're talking about just 2015, kind of how that played out. It would be interesting to ask him that question. I mean, he's a candid guy. I'm sure he'd give you a candid answer. And I know, just knowing his competitiveness, he obviously would have loved to have been a part of that. I mean, there's no question. That's just how the type of guy he is. And then in terms of the winning seasons, I mean, you're right. The numbers are the numbers. I do think, though, I mean, not recently, but, I mean, they fielded teams I think they felt like could compete, and they haven't. I think the real thing that I think about with that as in Buster's comment is, like, you're comparing – it's easy for Dayton and the Royals to stand out because you're comparing them against just a lot of these executives and other teams that they're just so on the polar opposite end that although that's three winning seasons, it's just hard to think otherwise of Dayton just with the way they've operated in comparison to a lot of these others, which is, I think, a reflection as much on them as much as it is Dayton and being able to hold your head high.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, it's great to be voted, you know, the most popular GM by minor league players and players, but at the end of the day, the goal is to win, right? I mean, if you're not manipulating service time, I don't even want to call it a loophole. I mean, it's a flaw in the collective bargaining agreement from a player's standpoint, but, like, don't you owe it to the organization and the fans to use every possible resource? And if that includes holding down like I said today, you know, great. We saw Brady Singer and he was up for the whole 60 games last year. So he's got 1 year gone. How do you say the guy in Seattle's name, Curtis? I forgot what it was. You sent it to me.
Mather.
Who?
Kevin Mather, I believe.
No. The prospect.
Jared Kelenic.
Thank you. Kelenic, you know, if they're not going to bring him up to start this year, and if Brady Singer pitches five more years and then signs a mega deal with the Yankees, and Kelenic is still playing in Seattle, like, are Royals fans really better off because they didn't mess around with the service time last year on Brady Singer?
I mean, it's a fair question to ask, and from a fan's perspective and organizationally, I mean, you could conceivably argue that 100%. But I just, I mean, I don't know. It's an ethical conversation. It's a, like a morals conversation. It's a business conversation. And I mean, it's easy to fall on certain sides, and I just think it's complex, and to do it, I don't know, to make everybody happy is impossible in this type of conversation. So it's tough. I mean, it's interesting in that conversation, like some people have talked about, someone was asking me the other day in this context, like, okay, so if they're not going to manipulate service time, that means Daniel Lynch is going to start on this roster, right, Alec? And it's like, but here's the element with pitching in this season. Daniel Lynch is going to only be able to go so many innings. So, I mean, if you want him in games that really matter more than others, I mean, why would it make sense to even start him on the roster? If he's ready, sure. But if he can't pitch throughout an entire season, why would you do that? So with that, I mean, I know I'm shifting the conversation a little bit, but in the context of Daniel Lynch and pitchers specifically in this season and this time, it's a different, there's just so many factors at play.
I'll come back to Daniel Lynch. Let me go back to the other part. What is the GM's job? I mean, like, does he need to be, you said a lot, there are a lot of facets and there are a lot of different opinions, but the one that should matter is the owner and the fans, right? Not, I mean, you have to have, I do get the idea of like, look, Russell Wilson wants out of Seattle. That's a problem. Star players not wanting to be on your team is a problem. You need to avoid that. So I do get that. And I think that's the rebuttal to, listen, we're trying to create a culture where players want to be here. Okay.
Right.
Well, you did that last time, and how many from your core last time are still here? None. Right? Danny Duffy, if you want to point to how whatever, Danny Duffy, Sal Perez – are the only guys from the World Series that are still here. It didn't get you Eric Hosmer. It didn't get you Mike Moustakas. It didn't get you Lorenzo Cain. So is it really the right thing, you know, the right focus is to be making sure that, you know, you're the players are on board with your approach?
Well, again, the rebuttal, I mean, in this context would be, I mean, Mike Minor specifically, Greg Holland, Wade Davis. I mean, these guys could have gone anywhere or a lot of places. And obviously money is a factor, and that's a major part of this conversation. But, I mean, I remember Mike Minor after he signed. I mean, he's like, I just trusted these guys, and I felt like that was a good place for me to be for a lot of reasons. And I think part of it, it might have been money. It might have been guaranteed starts, whatever. But I think a lot of it, and I truly believe this, a lot of it is just the culture that the Royals have. And again, it's a conversation of, would you, I mean, if you're not winning games, again, if you're not winning games, the culture is culture. But at some point, if you're a small market like the Royals, right, like you have to have some type of leverage. And maybe if it's not money and if it's not facility or if it's not X or Y, I mean, culture is something that stands out in some form or fashion. It's some piece of this. Like if you think about the Pittsburgh Pirates, they have a great ballpark, but I'm not sure what they have that is really intriguing for any free agent. And, I mean, I think the Royals do stand out and have in this last year in terms of how they've handled culture amid a turbulent time. And I think that matters. But, again, as you started this question, you're like, what is the GM's job? It's to win games. And Dayton knows that, and this front office knows that, and they know they haven't won a lot. And so, I mean, these next couple years are essential. There's no question about it.
Is this a make or break year for Dayton Moore with new ownership?
No, I would never say. No, I don't think it's a make or break year. I mean, they're building some of these young pitchers have developed and they're continuing to develop, and they'll some might enter in this season, some might next season, and some might be traded for a hitter on the back end. And I just, that would just be extremely unfair to say that. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Dayton is the second longest tenured GM in baseball behind Brian Cashman. I could be wrong on that. But when you really think about it, it's fascinating. And you mentioned John Sherman, it's an element to the whole thing, but I think they're building and they'll see it through and see if the fruits of a lot of these prospect labor will pay off.
I'll ask you the question that I put out on Twitter today just to get the mindset of where fans are. Over the next 5 years, the Royals will play 810 games. So 405 wins would be 500. How many games will they win over the next 5 years?
Oh, my goodness.
Just for a feeling, because I wanted to get the feel, like, the reason I did it was to find out how confident the fans are in where this thing is going. You know, the window ended at 18. 19 and 20 were 2 years to say, okay, put the foundation back together, you know, get things organized. Now is where, like, I asked you this, the reason I asked him in this order is, one, is it a make or break year? I wanted to make sure you didn't think it was. I don't think it is. But I can see that year coming, right? Because I think it's, you know, 200 lost seasons, that's enough, right? Last year they were on pace for 69 wins. Had it been a full season, who knows what it would have been. And coming off a pandemic and still in a pandemic, I don't know that you can say you got to do this year. But I do think that there should be a feeling, you know, if your fans don't feel confident that you're going in the right direction, then you've got a tough sell for your product out there. You can just look at the attendance. The attendance crashed as soon as the winning stopped. So I'm curious, how many games do you feel like you're thinking they're going to win over the next 5 years?
Can we do multiple choice style? I was always a big fan of that in college.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Short answer. Great. I'm failing this test.
Right. So 405. I mean, that's, I give okay. you 500. So if you think they're going to be 500 or slightly below for a couple of years, then 500 and slightly above, that'd be 405 wins.
Yeah. I mean, the next 5 years, I think maybe like 420 would be around maybe how I feel. Cause I mean, this year, obviously, if you look at Vegas, they've got a 71.5. I can't imagine next season that'll jump a ton. And I think by 2023, you hope you're in serious contention at minimum. So I think like 420 maybe would be my answer. But, I mean, that's the most difficult question I've had since calculus and senior year of high school. Thank you.
So 70-something, 70-something in contention the next 3 years.
Yeah, that's what I think is very fair. Yes, yeah.
Okay. And maybe 1 year you get banged up and you play kind of 500 out of those three, but for 3 years you're good enough to go. All right, I mean, because I think there does have to be, like, you know, some expectations out there. I'm a strong believer that you need to, before a season starts or before a group of years starts, you need to set what your expectations are. And you need to hold to it, right? We could have an unbiased view. Because at the end of every season, when you get there and you go, wow, why did we only win 59 games? Well, so-and-so got hurt and so-and-so got hurt. You know, it's like Witt today being asked, you know, how do you get off to a better start? Well, let's enter the season with more than two starting pitchers. Let's have Mondesi be, you know, end of the year hot Mondesi, start the year like that. Let's make sure we've got a healthy Hunter Dozier in the lineup, right? Like, that's how you tell yourself, we were actually a good team last year, but we got off to such a bad start because of this, this, and this. You know what all that means? You had no depth, right? So you have to set your expectations in advance, knowing that injuries happen, right? Like, guys go down. So that's why I like, okay, 420-ish. If he would win 420 games after 5 years, would you be satisfied? Or is that just what you expect them to do?
No, I think you'd be satisfied. I mean, obviously, if you're not making the playoffs, you're not satisfied with that number. But I think if you make the playoffs, I don't know, two, three out of the five, you got to feel satisfied with that, with the market that you're in. I mean, I agree with you on expectations. I think that's valid, and I agree with you on. I mean, sometimes injuries show a lack of depth. That's why this season, I mean, I think that's why really the explanation for 71.5 to me has to be depth, because I mean, from a lineup perspective, it looks pretty solid if Mondesi and some of these guys bounce back. But right, exactly. I know
two ifs. There were two ifs in the description of that solid lineup. And I actually think there's more like four.
No, there is. I knew the if man was coming. It was. It's about that time. But no, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's fair, but I think, I mean, fair if you're a fan. I think from my perspective as someone who covers this team objectively, if you make the playoffs two or three out of the next 5 years, I feel like a fan should be satisfied. Maybe they're going to yell at me for that, but to me, that's just where I stand, I would think that would be fair enough. Two or three playoff, berths in the next 5 years. I feel like
I would be thrilled with three playoff berths in the next five. I think two is a reasonable expectation because the Twins are up and running. The White Sox look good. The Indians, they've lost Lindor, but they still have a lot of pieces. You know, I think it's a salty division. So if you got in there three times, I think you've accomplished. I think you've done a hell of a job. Plus, I don't think they're ready. I don't think it's happening this year. So that would mean three out of the following 4 years. So I think it would be a major accomplishment. But I will say this: here's my fear. I didn't mention the Tigers. I will now, because my fear is that the Tigers go right by you because the Tigers did tank. The Tigers did jettison everything. And if they go by you, that's kind of unacceptable, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know if it's unacceptable. I mean, I think the Royals are obviously ahead, and I would say depth of system-wise, I don't know where Keith Law has the depth of system, but I strongly believe the Royals have more depth in their system. I could be wrong. Obviously, they drafted Spencer Torkelson.
Hitting?
They've got Casey Mize, and on the hitting side, I think the Royals system looks a little quiet. But I think some of these evaluators undervalue Kyle Isbell, and I also think Eric Pena. By the end of this year, he's an 18-year-old from the Dominican, who they paid multi-millions of dollars. I think by the end of this year, I saw him recently. Just he's so much more built. I think he'll be a top 100 guy, and then people will be like, "Oh, the Royals might have a little more depth." And then I think as you think about the surplus of pitching and what that could bring, I think the Royals will be able to acquire the depth. I think the Tigers. They're formidable. They might be able to be formidable at some point, but I just don't think. I mean, I think right now the White Sox are kind of the guiding light of who you're going after.
Yeah.
The Twins have succeeded recently, but I just think the White Sox, with as many guys as they have and the depth and just how long a lot of those guys are locked up for contractually, I think, that's the one that's just going to be a tough hurdle to overcome.
And to be clear, when I say pass you by, I'm not saying that the Royals have a banged-up season, finished with 80 wins, and the Tigers finished with 82. I'm talking about we definitively look at it and go, like, right now the White Sox are better. Right, where you would look at it and go, clearly the Tigers are better. I do think that's one of the things that has to happen. They're in your rearview mirror. They need to stay in your rearview mirror or reach your heights as a fellow playoff caliber team. Like, what I don't want to see is that the Tigers are now at 88 wins and fighting for a playoff spot, and the Royals are still at 78 wins saying, well, wait till Eric Pena gets up here.
Oh, right, 100%. If that happens, it's not going to be good for the Royal. I mean, for what they've built and what's going on. I mean, I think, as long as they remain in that rearview mirror and you're speeding up closer to Cleveland or Minnesota and Chicago, you're in better shape. But at some point, you need to be pretty even with two of the three and put yourself in a position to make the playoffs, and that at some point needs to happen sooner than later, obviously, with the run that's been these last few years.
All right, time for our Final Four, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System has extended weekday hours to see you quickly. Request an appointment at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. I will start you with this. What's the surprise hotspot?
The surprise hotspot. Oh my goodness. It used to be the place called Booties that had trivia. It's just the name. It's like Pirate Booty. That's the purpose.
Sure. That's what it is.
Right. For me, this year it's been Panera Bread. It's been hopping as I sit there and grind away on afternoons. That's been the hotspot for me. Panera Bread.
Okay. All right. That's a rock and roll lifestyle you're leading. What do you put on your hot dog when you're at the ballpark?
Wow, that's good. Ketchup, mustard, and kraut is I like those three. I like a Chicago dog. I don't know. I'm a ketchup and mustard guy typically. I'll eat pretty much anything. I don't love relish. Mark that down. But much else I'll eat. And
okay.
No problem.
Okay, the Jorge Soler home run total will be what at the end of this year?
Oh, that's good. Well, the ball has been changed a little bit. That's like very quiet that the sport that is based on a ball is changed. So that's interesting. So I do think that that will have some effect. I'll say for him, and this is assuming he stays healthy, which is a big assumption, I'll say like 34.
34? Okay. That's pretty good. All right. And the Royals, the Royals strikeout leader will be who?
Strikeout leader from a pitching perspective?
Pitchers, yeah.
Wow. That's a good one. I think just from a starts perspective, I'll say Brad Keller. I just think, I don't know, maybe Mike Minor would fit that bill. But I know Brad isn't the most strikeout. I mean, it's not his bread and butter. I'm actually working on a story right now on Brad's uniqueness. But I think Brad and maybe adding another pitch at sense might help him in this prediction. So that's where I'll go.
Alec, you're the man. Great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, if man. I appreciate it. Thanks, Corin. Y'all be good.
Alec Lewis from The Athletic. Check out his great work, great coverage of the Kansas City Royals. He's brought to you by Corona, Corona Light, Corona Premier, and the Corona Hard Seltzer. Stock up for March Madness. Of course, baseball season right around the corner as well. We'll take a break, come back. We'll finish with the kicker.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Curtis.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, a good sentence into the hour answer. What player holds the single season record for home runs by a Cuban-born player? It's the Royals' own Jorge Soler, 48 back in 2019. He is 29 today.
I didn't catch the single season, I looked up, I said, Kendrys Morales? And he's like, nope. I said, well, it wouldn't be Jorge Soler. He doesn't have enough. He goes, yeah, it's Jorge Soler. I go, Kendrys Morales has like 100 more than him. He's like, oh, it's single season. That's why. So
Paul Mero's like 570. He's one of four Cuban-born players to have 40 homer seasons. Soler, Palmero, Canseco, and Tony Perez.
That's right.
He was the first.
Palmero, it was Cuban-born. And then came over here and then came up through the American baseball system.
That's right,
yep. But born in Cuba.
He's easy to forget.
He is easy to forget.
I always do.
Tremendous player. Was really good. I know steroids here and all that, but was really good. Good Sense, what we are playing for there. You can go to goodsensesubs.com, get your order in right now. Do it on the app. That's how I do it. Easiest way is with the app. Once you get signed up, it's the best, and also keeps your loyalty points there. 10% back every time you order at Good Sense. Go to goodsensesubs.com. That's goodsensesubs.com. Locally owned and operated, founded in Lenexa, Kansas. That is your neighborhood Good Sense. Listen, we'll leave you with this for the kicker. The Kansas City Royals flying under the radar. They're under the radar right now, but they won't be under the radar for much longer if things go the way they're supposed to go. If they're under the radar next year, there's a problem, right? This should be the year. Whatever our expectations are, I think you do. I'll quote Eli Drinkwitz, who said, well, what, they're saying we should only win four games, so we want to win more than that. You want to do better than whatever the expectations are. I thought that was – I was really impressed at that time how Eli Drinkwitz just embraced – what the over-under total was and said, you know, okay, bring it on. We want to get better than that. Well, 71.5 is the Royals. So I think the minimum you would accept this year is 72, right?
Yes, and that's low for me.
I think you want to announce your presence to where you're no longer under the radar. People need to be talking about the Royals come next year. That's what I want to see out of this year. It's in the 70s. It's definitely more than 71.5 wins, right? They need to come in over. They don't have to contend this year. You know, it would need just about everything to go right on offense to be a contender this year, and that just usually doesn't happen. You know, so I believe if this team can go out and make some noise to where people start talking about them, start talking about their depth of pitching so that they are not under the radar anymore. I'll tell you the other thing I'd like to see is finish third. Get in front of somebody. right? Somebody figures to have an off year. Probably Cleveland is where most people are pointing. And maybe some injuries bog them down, what have you. But if they could finish third, that would be a hell of an accomplishment this year. Those are the things I would like to see. See you tomorrow, too.